So this is a chakra rebuild. And chakras need to be rebuilt for a number of reasons, primarily trauma and or illness. But you can see that on here we have trauma can be caused by surgery, rape, war, traumatic accidents, seeing a murder, death of a loved one, loss of a relationship, betrayal of some kind, severe childhood circumstances, really anything that shocks the system can damage a chakra and create and ultimately what damages the chakra is the valve that gets created in there, the strong belief that shouldn't have happened. Okay, a chakra that understands, an open chakra realizes that everything happens for a purpose, it's part of the universal flow of life, and it just, it gets hurt, can get hurt at the physical level or the emotional level, but it's resilient, it comes back. You can hurt a chakra, you can do surgery on a chakra, and it will heal itself in almost no time at all. The belief systems don't. Okay, and so a person that has a trauma and then believes that trauma is something that shouldn't have happened and holds to that creates a chronic problem in that chakra. It can be if someone had a cancer, in an area of their body, literally the chakra can tear and be bleeding and it's draining. It just doesn't hold its cell. It's like its cell walls anymore. It just it's losing energy. If there were enormous trauma, a rape situation, it can be in the sexual, second chakra or first chakra element, but third chakra can be just ripped wide open. The sense of self, and so the person may go one way or the other. They may go totally no self-esteem, or completely the other way, where they're just a tyrant. That can lead to the opposite. But that chakra is just sort of not. It doesn't flow in the universe anymore. Okay, and so when you have someone who presents with fears, depression, rage, hopelessness, they will likely have a chakra. Something that's chronic is a chakra that is chronically either depleted or bleeding bleeding is not the right term. Leaking, where they can't contain their energy, or they contain it too much out of fear. So that you want to figure out what part of their life it is that's doing that, and then work with that. It can be with some people, it's their ideas. For thinkers, they can just be like, just can never get their ideas together. They may be delusional. The person can be delusional. That's a sixth chakra that's torn. Or they have severe issues around relationship, consistently getting in relationships with people that are dangerous or bad for them, or are attracted to relationships that are very unhealthy, or get into relationships as one person and then all of a sudden flip into something else. That chakra has a serious wound in it, the relationship program. And when you think about the chakras as programs, you have your body program in the first chakra, you have your sexual and self-image program in the second chakra, and then you have your self-esteem in the third chakra, your sense of individual self, your relationship program in the fourth chakra, your communication program in the fifth chakra, your thinking process, your awareness, and you're able to sort of see how the world works in the sixth chakra, and then your connection to God and infinite possibility and spirituality in the seventh chakra. And any of those chakras can have a severe trauma. If you were forced to go to church, forced to pray as a small child, And Carolyn Mace talks about it. It's like making children go and kneel for hours and pray when, you know, when playing outside is prayer for them. You know, that can create a severe rip in the seventh chakra around what spirituality is, and so trauma comes in each of the chakras. Trauma comes in very different ways. As you really understand the chakras and start noticing, every one of the chakras, front or back, the relationship centers or the will centers can be torn open. We'll be working on, for today, we're going to be working on the front of the third chakra. Okay, so your sense of self in relationship. Now, when you restructure the front of a chakra, it's going to do a lot of powerful restructuring on the back side of the chakra as well. But if you know someone has, for instance, they... for someone who is who consistently can't take care of their health, okay, they seem to do something, or they get on a quick fix, this or that diet, or you know, and then they fall off it, or they do something, or they are super duper rule keeper, super athlete, you know, and they push themselves, and instead of just working out and being in shape, they do triathlons. You know, and this person, and you say, why are you doing this? You know, and the doctor says, you do understand that in 2 years, you won't be able to walk because you'll have no cartilage in either knee and they can't stop. That's the back of the third chakra. They don't know how to care for themselves physically, emotionally, and spiritually. They only know how to drive. And so the back of the second chakra will be massively excessive. And it doesn't know how to live in the world, it just knows how to push. And so restructuring that can give them a moment of sort of realizing, oh man, my knee's actually really sore. Maybe I ought to take a day off from running. So this is why we do this healing, and everybody here has chakras that need some restructuring. You can restructure every chakra if you work with each other. I highly recommend that you get a chakra restructure on every chakra at least once, just to see what it feels like to have a new chakra in that area. Okay, it's kind of fun, and it really does. It really will bring you to a different consciousness place. Each one will be different for you. When you're working with a client, you might say, "Oh my God, that's definitely they've got an ulcer in the third chakra." So that's definitely a chakra that's not being able to manage energy very well, or they've got pancreatic issues, diabetes. So there's a third chakra that's out of whack, and you want to redo that. But they've got their belief system that they've got this image that they can never heal this, or that nobody ever survives from this, or my dad died of this, and so I'm gonna die. You know, so you're like, God, I gotta do both. Don't do it two of these at a time. This is like surgery. Okay, so you do not want to do more than one chakra restructuring at a time.
Nope.
Just figure out which one you do. I mean, most of the time, people's issues are going to be, relational. You want to really build those. But certainly, if they can't take care of themselves, you're going to flip them over and do them when they're facing down. So you'll do their back.
So you can do that in one healing.
No, we're going to be doing the front of this chakra. When you do restructure this chakra, you are restructuring all the layers. We're going to also be restructuring and supporting all the layers, which will also bring the back much more into balance. Okay, but we're only going to be restructuring the front aspect of this chakra. And find out where they're, because you may have someone who has pretty decent relationships, but when you flip them over and you do the pendulum on their back, it's like, wow, chaos and this, and they got one totally shut down, in the back because they don't know how to care for themselves. Or they're too willful, or they're, so that person needs restructuring in the will centers. Yeah, I highly recommend that you keep doing your pendulum. You know, if you're not using pendulums, you're missing a whole lot of information about your clients. You know, and you may do the pendulums, and most of them don't make any sense, but one of them is just like, holy cow, I got to focus on that chakra. There's something really going on in that chakra. Yeah. Okay, so you all have got a whole array of healings, and you've got to learn how to start learning how to use them and assess with them. What you would want to do is work on, say, the first chakra, but do the 7-level healing over that chakra to figure out what level that chakra was wounded at. Was it that she lost the relationship? Was it the invasion of her safety? Was it that she was really emotionally bonded with him in the second chakra and that she's destroyed emotionally now? Is it that now she lives in total terror of that happening to her or happening to somebody else she loves? Or, you know, so you need to assess what level. It may be a first chakra issue because her body is now, you know, really having issues, you know, physical maladies. But what level is it on? What level was that? So it's important to find that out as well. And then you might realize, you know, that's really the chakra that needs to get worked on because that's the chakra that got blown out. It's affecting your body, but that's not really the problem chakra. The wound, traumas will sit in, usually will affect because of the way the person processes it through one major chakra. And so a trauma goes into a chakra. And that's why that chakra will then make a vow. And it'll be sort of a universal vow, but it's
she just suddenly changed overnight. I could see it in her whole being. Now she's like leaking out everywhere. You know,
right.
She used to be so vibrant and energetic.
Well, that's a major trauma, and she needs psychological work. She needs healing work. She needs to be willing to until a person's willing to look at that and come, you know, and do the grieving work that needs to be done, and then finally say, that happened for a reason, and I don't have to know the answer, but I need to move on with my life, and I need to take that and make my life better from it, not use it as a reason to play victim and now be less of a person.
I think she's really worked on the grieving, but it's just been hard for the divorce, you know, and it's just everything's
fallen
apart for her, you know.
Okay, so let's focus on what we're doing here. All right, Terry, can you, it's off and on. Yeah, we're going to go through the healing, how to do this healing, and the key with this healing is that you are going and each healing pushes you to another level. In this healing, you're going to need to call your guides to help. Okay, there's a placement of when you are working, and we're going to be working on Lisa's third chakra. This is like a surgery. And so what has to happen is you have to, in surgery, what happens is they drape the body so that only a certain area gets focused on. Well, what happens in a chakra replacement is that you have to isolate the chakra from the energy that's normally running up and down through it so you can work on it. Okay? So you have to have a block that goes into the body below and into the body above the chakra, and your guides have to place those for you. Okay? That's not something that you have. You don't have these plates on you. You don't have them in your backpack. Okay, I've got my plates. Okay? They bring them in and they do that. You need to sink your hands in, but then they go through you and they place those in there. Okay? All right, so and then it's very important that you pull them back out. What'll happen is that when those come out, there's a huge rush of energy now that comes through a much more healthy chakra up and through the body. Okay? But you've got to be very aware that this is another place where you can't be spacing out. You've got to be really present. Guides cannot come through a person who's not present. This is the whole element of the healing, and I still hear I still, you know, occasionally hear our healers saying, yeah, I don't do it. It's just, I'm just a conduit. No, you're doing the healing because if they could have done it without you, they would have. They need your focus. They need your intention. They need you being called to this moment in time to be here and be intuitively knowing what to do and which healing to do so that they can work through you, yes. But you're the one who has to have the consciousness, the physical body, the energy, and the focus to be able to do this. So you're doing the healing. They're supporting. You are a healer. When you're doing this work, do not defer your power because you've got a low self-esteem third chakra. It's easier to just say, no, I'm really not doing it. You know, do you tell your clients, yeah, I'm going to heal you? No. You say, I'm a healer. I hold the space so that you can feel what it's like to totally be you, and the techniques that I use are enormously powerful. Okay? I'm not healing you because that's not how it works. You know that you don't heal them. But you're the healer. You have to take, at some point, you're going to have to be able to say that out loud. And a couple of you have been able to say it when you realize that Carolyn May said, well, you can call yourself a healer and you don't have to, and it's not on the table. You can just be a healer in life. Well, yeah, we've been saying that since the first week you came in here. A healer is a person who allows the person to step up to the next level. But if you're going to be a table healer, you say, I'm a healer because this is what I hold the space that allows this to happen. I am the one that's responsible. You take responsibility for this. You defer responsibility during a healing, and just like wandering into somebody else's field, you don't know what you're leaving behind. You have no idea. If you think your guides are going to be cleaning up after you, they're not. They're going to come in, they're going to do their job, they're going to leave, and your job is to make sure that the field is held in a sacred and safe way. That means you're the healer. You're in charge of this whole thing. Does everybody get me on that? One more thing before we go over the healing. Number of you do the healings, and then I'll see you on your healing write-ups. I did the healing, it was great, but then I did some Reiki, or then I did, and then I did the heart hold, and then I did this and this other thing too. You have to ask yourself, and that's where you really want to start digging into yourself. Why? Didn't you trust the healing? Did you not trust your skill on the healing? Did you not trust the healing? Did you not trust that it works? Did you not trust that that would do what it was supposed to do for this person? What were you called to do during that healing?
Right, so sometimes you can be there and you're asked to, I feel someone is called to just place my hand somewhere.
That's fine. Okay. But to add another healing on top of a healing means that you have, that whatever the result is, you have no idea why, what caused that or what that healing could do. So without, and that's why we say, do the healings as prescribed, step away, and then check in with the person as to what their experience was. Check in with them a day later. Notice what that healing does. So if you're adding on more healings, that's probably enmeshment. I don't want this person, well, let me add a little more. Let me just make sure they feel good. I'm going to, you know, I know that healing, that's a really hard healing, so I'm going to do then a chakra balance on top of it. Or I'm going to do, and so notice, you need to be strong enough to be able to say, that healing is complete, and I have no idea what's going to happen here. I have all this information I got during the healing that now I want to see. Boy, I sensed this during the healing. The pendulum showed this during the healing. Now, do the healing, step away, allow them to live their life, and then find out what happened. Find out what's going on. Did it trigger something else? Did it trigger, it might even trigger them to be sick. Your greatest fear, oh my God, maybe I made him sick. But that sickness might be where they cleared, and then a day later they're saying like, oh my God, I've never felt this great in my life. You know, it could be a 3-day event, that healing. But your need to keep them sort of safe, especially if it's a family member or friend or something like that, you're adding on healings and you just confuse it, and it usually then goes back to will, where there's really no healing going on at all. Okay? And it's just, and then they get a minimum healing. Own your power, step up, do your healing, step away, and just allow that every time you do that healing, it's going to teach you about that energy world. Every healing should be done until enough times, by itself, exactly as prescribed, until you know the difference between what that healing does with people, within you, within others, and all the others. Because each healing we teach you, including this one, holds a different level of vibration. To do chakra restructuring is very different than doing past life healing. Incredibly different energies. Each one needs to be dealt with. You might be doing a past life work and realize, oh my God, look at that torn out chakra from that past life. That past life has been tearing that chakra apart for years. So now I get the past life out. I'd love to do a chakra replacement, but no. Let's see if the chakra comes back on its own without that past life in there. Rather than trying to fix everything and trying to control it too much. Does everybody understand? Yes.
I know what you're saying, but when I do the Reiki afterwards, it opens up all